The preparation and work are done. It's time to play ball. Saturday night showdown in Tiger Stadium kicks off our Football Friday in Acadiana. The Nickel Report, Jordy and the Judge will take you to the biggest games on the high school scene tonight. Saints against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what will the headlines on Monday say in some very hot cities around the country? All these stories and more today, Friday, October the 11th, 2019.
Under 4 minutes to go now in the fourth quarter. Time of possession in favor of New England. Brady driving that left side, trying to take it in for the touchdown. He does. Tom Brady, second one of the night on the ground. TB12 has just put the exclamation point on this one.
An Altuve chant is going in the stands. Pagan delivers. And that's driven deep to left center field. Racing back, Kiermaier looking up. See you later! See you later! Back-to-back jacks. First Brantley, now Altuve. It's 6-1 Astros. One, two. Swing and a miss. Choi goes down, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros are headed back to the American League Championship Series for a third straight year.
Ah, yes, indeed. Good afternoon and welcome. The Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. My main man, CD, in the Master Control Suite, the 237 Root Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Tom Brady didn't throw a touchdown pass, but he ran for two, and as expected, the Patriots remain undefeated, and they beat the spread and beat the New York Football Giants. Tyler Glasnow obviously was tipping his pitches, and the Houston Astros took advantage of it. They get game five under their belt, and now the final four in Major League Baseball is set. The Astros and the Yankees in the American League, the Cardinals and the Nationals in the National League. St. Louis hosting Washington tonight, game one. Astros hosting the Yankees, game one, on Saturday. But, we got a busy day, and it's a busy Saturday, and all the talk has got to come to an end. You got to get on the field. You got to play. But some LSU Tigers kind of summed up their feelings about Florida in this way earlier this week.
I don't like them very much. I know they don't like us very much, and that's kind of been the talk around here, but you just kind of have to keep your emotions in check in a game like this.
You don't. It's not even going to sugarcoat it. It's just something that, you know what I'm saying, just goes wrong with the history of the programs. Obviously, two great teams. It's just bad blood colliding, very passionate programs. And it's going to be something that's going to be exposed Saturday night.
Not at all. Even if Florida's playing a Big Ten score or something, I don't care much for it. Like after last year's game, I forgot that quarterback's name, their starting quarterback or whatever, I don't know his name, but I mean, he was running around celebrating on the field like he won the Super Bowl, and so I don't know if he's playing this week. Hopefully he does, but I mean, looking forward to getting after him.
Braden, that was Felipe Franks. He's not playing, but that's okay. Kyle Trask is. I'm waiting for this cold front to come in, so Chris Cozart, meteorologist for KLFY, joins us as he does each and every Friday. We've gotten some rain, Chris. Is it actually going to get cold or cool?
I would call it cold. I think we're looking at temperatures tonight, but not for the games. I'd say for tomorrow morning, probably in the 50s, the lower 60s. So it's going to have a little chill to the air tomorrow morning. But for those games, you're going to feel definitely that cold front coming through this afternoon. And those games tonight will start to get some breezy conditions, and it's going to get a little cool out there. I'd definitely bring a jacket with me just to have something to kind of break the wind.
Are we done with the rain, or is there a possibility of rain tonight in Acadiana?
I can't completely rule out a little bit. There could be a few showers out there, but I think most of the heavier sprays that we've seen so far today are pretty much coming to an end. They're moving pretty much east there now.
All right. There's going to be 102,000 in the stadium, about 300,000 on campus around Tiger Stadium on Saturday. They're going to be tailgating early and late into the night. Take us through the day. What's it going to be like in Baton Rouge on Saturday?
I think a lot of people tailgating are going to be making some gumbos, and it's going to be good weather for that. You know, look at temperatures possibly just in the lower 70s. Some clouds and a little sunshine, but more clouds than anything else, but no threat for rain. I think, man, it couldn't have been better timing with this front, because it really will feel like football weather through the day on Saturday. And if you're heading to the game that night,
nice,
you definitely want to bring a jacket, because we're talking temperatures falling into the 60s right around the time that they kick off there in Death Valley.
Awesome. Chris Kozar kind enough to join us. All right, the Saints are traveling east toward the Atlantic, where Jacksonville, the Jaguars, will be hosting the Saints on Sunday, a noon kickoff our time. What's it going to be like? Are they going to get cool, or are they going to still be in a summertime mode in Jacksonville?
It will be more summertime. They're going to miss out on that front. They're going to probably be in the mid to upper 80s around kickoff there, and it's going to get a little humid as well, but a lot of sunshine and really no threat for rain to worry about there. So I think good football weather, just a little hot for them over there.
Well, let's show your versatility, Chris. Give us your thoughts. Who's going to win the LSU-Florida game and why? What's going to happen?
Oh, I definitely think LSU has a good chance at this one. I like Joe Burrow. I went to Ohio State, so I'm pretty known to him. So
did you?
Burrow's doing. Yeah, I went to Ohio State the year 05 to 09. So when LSU beat Ohio State, I was going to Ohio State for that.
I think
Burrow's going to be pretty good. I'm not convinced about Florida. You know, they struggled a little bit with Auburn, watching that game last week. And so coming to Death Valley, that atmosphere and everything else, I think LSU is going to come away with probably about a 14-point win.
Well, Chris, I learned something new about you. Very, very well done. Thanks for the weather update, as always. We greatly appreciate it. I won't hold it against you that you used to watch games at the old Shoe. So continued success. Thanks for coming on board, buddy. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you ever need any inside information on Ohio State or the Big Ten, I'll be happy to give some of that, too.
You got it, man. Thank you very much. Chris Kozar, that Ohio State Buckeye. You got to be kidding me. Last time he's on this show. No, I'm kidding. Okay, does a great job on the weather, and it sounds like it's going to be terrific. So for high school football games tonight, that's awesome, and Tiger Stadium's going to be just beautiful. Full. Absolutely. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. So let me tell you what we have in store for you and yours today. It's a regular crowd that shuffles in each and every Friday. Jim Nickel will join us in just a minute as we give you all the information about the University of Florida, one of the really good public institutions in the state of in the United States of America. Really good. Doug Moore will be in the call of the game right here on 103.7 The Game. We've got kickoffs at 7. Pre-game show starts at 5 right here on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget about Under the Dome with CD earlier in the day. So we got you covered from A to Z talking football. But Doug will share his thoughts on the keys to this one. And look, everybody talks about this and that. Everybody has to do their job. And if you do your job better than your opponent does his job, you win. And it starts at the quarterback position. And LSU has, in my opinion, a distinctive advantage there with a veteran quarterback that's been through big games, been in big-time moments. Kyle Trask starting his first game on the road since he was a junior varsity quarterback. First one. Welcome to Death Valley, big guy. Well, you know, you're going straight from the frying pan into the fire. So it's going to be a rude awakening, I believe. So we'll give our predictions later on. George Faust will join us at the top of the hour to talk about some of the key matchups on the high school front, share his thoughts on what he saw Wednesday night on a tough loss. But There are no moral victories, but I think UL handled themselves quite well. They're knocking on the door, and I don't be surprised if those two meet up again in Boone, North Carolina, for the Sun Belt title later on this year. George Becknell will join CD and I, and we'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. Plus, we'll close things out with some birthday wishes and a memorable night back on October the 11th, 1997. Tigers brought back the magic against Steve Spurrier and the number one ranked Florida Gators. We'll relive that moment. So that's what's in dock for y'all today. We're brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets, 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. If you're not a Buku Rewards member yet, you're killing yourself. Become a member. It's so easy. Just sign up and receive all the discounts that you can possibly ever hope for and dream of. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. Our Football Friday begins. Nickel Report next. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
This week it's the Florida Gators, but before we get to the Nickel Report, let's get our Football Friday started the right way. Let's get hyped up a little bit. Hit it.
It is a pantheon of concrete and steel. It is a city that rises defiantly in the Delta alongside the Father of Waters. It is the humidity of autumn evenings that drapes stately oaks and broad magnolias. It is haunted, and it is loud. It is Halloween night and cannon blasts. It is a Louisiana gumbo of humanity that cheers its Tigers to victory and destroys the dreams of invading foes. Chance of rain is never. It is the cathedral of college football, and worship happens here. When the sun finds its home in the western sky, it is a field of glory for sure. But much more than that, it is a sacred place. And it is Saturday night in Death Valley.
Admit, I got the goosebumps working. Let's welcome in Jim Nickel. It's game time. It's time to get ready. Over 100,000 strong. Jim, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Jordan. I'm excited. Tomorrow is right around the corner, and I cannot wait. It's SEC football. It's Florida, who I hate the most in the SEC, coming to Tiger Stadium. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Let's put our big pants on, big boy pants on. Let's get ready. Let's do the Nickel Report on the Florida Gators.
University of Florida, Nickel Report, Florida, founded in 1853. One of the few schools we play that's been around a little longer, because all Jordy Helfrich listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. Very good school, 14th ranked overall public university by U.S. News and World Report. It's considered a public Ivy. Kiplinger consistently recognizes Florida as the second best buy in public education in the entire United States. Very good school. Its endowment, north of $1 billion. Its student enrollment, 47,000. This is a really big school. Only Ohio State and Arizona State have bigger student bodies than the University of Florida. Alligator was chosen as a mascot by accident. 1911, a local vendor ordered and sold some school pennants. There's an alligator on it. Nobody told them to put the alligator on it. It was on there. Boom, they became the Gators in 1912. Tuition in-state, about $4,500, the lowest in the SEC. Out of state, 21,000. Overall graduation rate, right at 85%, one of the better ones in the SEC, better than LSU's 73%. Oldest ROTC college program in the country. They started in 1905. Very good sports school. Since 1986, they've won 19 of the last 25 SEC all-sports trophies. And Florida is one of only two Division I schools that has won multiple national championships in football and basketball. Football, 96, 2006, 2008. in basketball back-to-back with Billy Donovan in 06 and 07. Some famous folks that went to Florida, the late Hal Steinbrenner, who owned the New York Yankees, his family, Stephen Stills, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That's a little Jerry Oldberg music from college
there
right there.
There you go, baby.
So Crosby, Stills. Wendy Thomas, the daughter of Dave Thomas, who named the hamburger chain after her, Wendy. Emmett Smith, Steve Spurrier, folks who like to watch Morning Joe on MSNBC. Joe Scarborough is a Florida grad. Got a Panama Jack. A lot of folks over there in Lafayette and around Louisiana like to head to the beach, put on a little Panama Jack sun lotion. Jack Katz, the founder of Panama Jack. And I'm not making fun of people that started. Mel did it himself, but it was my main man, Mel Tillis, Country and Western Hall of Fame. And then one of the guys I like in football, Chris Collinsworth. Some people don't like Collinsworth. I like him. I think he does a good job. He's on NBC Sunday Night Football. He is a graduate of Florida. Football program, what do you say? I mean, they've won, you know, 8 SEC championships. They've had 140 All-Americans, 3 Heisman Trophy winners. They've had, you know, close to 40 NFL first-round draft choices, 3 national championships. This is a very, very good school and a very, very good football program with some very, very trashy fans. That's all I got to say. I mean, you know, I've ridden on that team bus into a lot of stadiums with Jordy Hulberg. Our favorite ride in is Florida. We're going to see everything as you ride into that Florida stadium, right? Going to see a few middle fingers.
Grandmas and little kids in strollers with that, that middle finger. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the classiest group out there, but I respect their football team. I respect Dan Mullen, and I expect a great game tomorrow night. The weather's going to be crisp. It's just going to be what a night. And then the element nobody's talked about is, I mean, we've played Florida in some epic games in Tiger Stadium. It's the first time the beer is going to be flowing in Tiger Stadium. So you think it was loud in the past, you get a little alcohol fuel in there. Oh, my goodness.
You know,
I hope they got enough room in Parish Prison tomorrow night.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you made an interesting point, and I agree with you. You said this is the team that you hate the most in the SEC. A lot of people would say Alabama. A lot of people would. But I'm telling you, this is one of those rivalries. We play them. They're in the East. We're in the West. We play them every year. Some bizarre scenarios, some interesting case studies involving these two teams. And I'm with you. I despise the Gators. I really do.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that we have to play them every year, considering what our other SEC West schools have, who they have to play from the East every year, is patently unfair. I don't even want to go down that road, but it is what it is. We'll tee it up tomorrow. We'll see if this quarterback is healthy that Florida's got. I think the odds makers may know something we don't know in that regard. I look for a very, very loud, electric atmosphere tomorrow night. It's just going to be really, really fun. And, you know, I hope the Tigers play smart. I think maybe Kalavon said something earlier this week. Got to keep our head on our shoulders. Florida's going to try to make us get a personal foul. They're going to get in our face. They're going to want us to do something stupid, take a swing at somebody. We got to stay cool, man. Stay cool like Joe Burrow. You can go crazy after you score and get the turnover.
I am with you. No question about that. Yeah, this, to me, feels like really the first home game of the season. I thought I was watching a spring game. No offense against Utah State. I mean, that was – I mean, come on, right?
100%. 100% from the radio booth. That was unanimous perspective that we had, and that was this looks like a spring game. It's hot. There's nobody on the west side. I mean, on the east side. There's nobody at the game. I mean, everybody left at halftime. It was – no, this is going to be hearts of a different color. Man, it's going to be hot tomorrow night, but it's going to be cool. It's going to be hot.
Yeah. I got one for you. Gatorade was created in 1965 by a team of scientists at the University of Florida College of Medicine. I don't think those four are having to worry about teaching anymore. I think they're in pretty good shape after inventing Gatorade.
That's the name Gatorade. Yeah, it's pretty interesting that they did that. And, all these labels and logos are important. You know, LSU's a Powerade school. Florida's a Gatorade school, and you see all the logos on the towels and different things, but it is neat that Florida was able to find that. I think our interaction with some of the Florida fans that are less than tasteful aren't a great graduates of the University of Florida. I just think they love their football program. But really good school academically and a good athletic program. I just don't like them. I want to beat them. I want to beat them bad. I want to beat them bad, and I want to come out healthy because, you know, we got to go to Starkville, and that's always kind of tricky. But that's a whole nother game. Let's stay focused on this one. Need a good game from our defensive line. I think we'll get it. And I think our offensive line is better than it was last year against Florida. So I like our chance to be able to control the ball. I think, you know, Mullen's going to have some trick plays. He loves to do that to LSU. But he's got a quarterback that's a little tender. He's only got one guy behind him. So he's got to be careful as to how much he tries with that guy. But I think if we play our game and we play the way we've been playing, we're going to win the game tomorrow.
I'll leave you with this one. Zach Von Rosenberg remembers that the Florida student section threw bottles at them on the sideline during last year's game. He said some smelled like urine. The color of the liquid, they may have been hydrated. One hit Blake Ferguson. Zach says it'll be fun to play Florida here. Wow.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Well, you know, you and I have been in that Florida field, and I tell you, of course, you were on the field. I would have to make that walk from the booth through the stadium to the field after the game, and it was always with some trepidation because those Florida fans are not friendly people.
No, they are not.
I was looking for my man Jordy. I'm like, Jordy, get me out of here, baby. Where's Jordy?
I'm hanging by the coach with all the security people. Mom didn't raise stupid kids. No way. Jim Nickel, going to be fun. It's going to be crisp. It's going to be great. The beer's going to be flowing. The football's going to be throwing. I like the Tigers in this one. But thank you for the Nickel Report. Get your crew working on Stark Vegas for next week. And thank you, my friend. Have a great one.
All the best to you and your listeners. We'll see you tomorrow night, Jordy.
You got it, my friend. That is Jim Nickel, the Crowley Kid, with this week's edition of the Nickel Report. Jordy and the Judge coming up next after this timeout on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrell. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
I always look forward to talking with my good buddy Doug Morrell, longtime color commentator in the LSU Sports Radio Network. Doug, we got a good one Saturday night, buddy. How you feeling?
I feel good about it, and I'm looking forward to it. I think this is the second test of LSU, but the first real conference test of LSU, much more so than Vanderbilt. And they're playing a good team, and the team is playing well right now. They're well coached, and LSU's got some revenge factor based on the last couple of years.
Everybody talks about Florida and their defense, and they are very, very good. They're the number one red zone defense in the country. LSU's the number one red zone offense. When you break down this game, what are the important factors to you?
You know, I was thinking about that Florida is number one defense red zone, LSU number one offense red zone. And I thought, you know, maybe at the flip of the coin, they should just go into overtime right away. Just make it a nothing but overtime game. Play 60 minutes of overtime. You know, LSU starts in the red zone. Florida gets to play defense in the red zone, and we get to really test how true those statistics are. So I forgot the question you asked.
You answered. That was good. That was good. Look, they're well coached. You mentioned it. Todd Grantham, long time. He's had some success against LSU. LSU's had some success against him in his stops along the way in the SEC. Against Auburn, a coach that loves to blitz, didn't hardly blitz at all against Auburn and had great success. D- Do you think he gets Zuniga back on the offense, on the defensive line, one of their key players, so they're healthy? Do you think he takes the same approach, or do you think the bright lights, the environment, and a coach tends to go back to his roots, so to speak, and he likes to blitz a lot? What do you think he does?
Well, I tell you, you know, if he looks back a year ago from the LSU-Florida game in Gainesville, and he sees LSU with the same quarterback, he sees LSU with actually a better offensive line this year, but still not as good as they want to be. And they're going to get better as the season goes on. And he sees how effective he was pressuring Joe Burrow and how he changed the game around with fumbles and interceptions and that type of thing by putting so much pressure on the LSU offense. And the Tigers actually, I think, were a better team. And Florida just made some plays at the right time to become the winner in that game. So if I'm Ty Grantham, I'm figuring, look, that worked last year. Before I give up on it, let me try it again and see how this guy responds to it. Now, there's a downside to that, and that is that LSU does have a more experienced offensive line. If they get Ed Ingram back, and that's going to be a real asset to them, I think, because it gives them some depth, for one thing, but it also gives them a road grader, and it plays into their use of the running game last week against Utah State. It gives them a much more effective running game, which makes Joe Burrow a much more effective passer, because I don't know that Grantham can play rushing only four guys all the time. He's going to have to rush five and six some of the time, but that's just kind of a guess. You know how these defensive coaches are, and they come up with schemes that they have great plans for in the game, and if it doesn't work the first couple of series, they junk those and they go to what's worked for them in the past.
Very true, very true. Doug Morrow, kind enough to join us. It looks like the Tigers are getting healthy, according to reports. Senior linebacker Michael Divinity and senior defensive end Rashard Lawrence. They've been practicing. It looks like they're ready. He should be ready to go come Saturday. That makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Tremendous difference. LSU has, earlier this year, has had so many injuries along the defensive front that they have not really been the kind of defensive team they expected to be. And last week against a pretty good Utah State team, for the first time they came into their own. They held the rushing down, and they still didn't have frontline players. Rashard Lawrence is a big asset in that defensive front. Michael Divinity is a big asset. Kalavon Chasson played some last week, but he didn't make big plays, but he got close to him a little bit. So he's improving, and LSU's getting now some experience at the middle linebacker spot that they lose with Devin White being gone, but they have some good players who are becoming better players now. And in the secondary, it looks like Cordell Flott might play. It was expected that he would miss this game, but it looks like he's has a chance of playing anyway. And LSU got some depth in the secondary. They have some big playability because Florida's got big playability in their receivers. And it's strange that LSU's strength offensively has been this season the quarterback and the receivers, and actually Florida's strength is in their receivers. They've lost their quarterback, their starting quarterback. They've got Kyle Trask, who's 6'5", about 240 pounds, who is playing quarterback now. But he suffered a knee sprain last week. Don't know if that's going to affect him or not. But he's not the kind of runner that they lost in their starting quarterback. So, we'll see how LSU deals with that. They're gonna make him stay back there and get nervous. They're going to try to affect the quarterback, as Coach Saban has always said. Yes. Want to affect the quarterback. What you want to do is get Kyle Trask to start thinking of things other than what he as the quarterback is supposed to think of. And if you can get a quarterback to do that, you get inside of his head, and that's half of the game right there. So I think that's what LSU's goal is defensively, is to make him a little uncertain about his decision-making. And, make him get jittery. He's going to throw some interceptions if we give him an opportunity to.
He should be jittery enough beforehand. He hasn't started a game on the road as a quarterback since he was in junior varsity, on the junior varsity team back in high school. I don't think they have 102,000-seat stadiums in junior high. Welcome to Death Valley, Mr. Trask.
How did he do in that game, do you know?
I don't.
The JV game.
I don't know.
It's a little bit easier. The pressure is less in that situation. This is going to be a big-time game for everybody, for LSU's players, too, because this is the best team that they will have played this year. Although, I tell you, Texas, I think, has turned out to be a really good team. They were better when we played them than I thought that they were going to be. And LSU was missing some linemen, both offense and defense, and has improved in both of those areas since that time. So I think LSU is a better team than they were back then. And they were a pretty good team against Texas the night that they played.
Florida fans have never treated LSU very hospitably when they've been in the swamp. And to that point, LSU President F. King Alexander asked in an open letter for fans to be gracious hosts to all our invited guests off the field. So this is a pretty intense rivalry, isn't it?
I saw that letter. Did you notice that he didn't define gracious host? Those are very subjective words, and they can be taken in many, many different ways. So I think LSU's people will be gracious hosts, but in the Louisiana way.
In the Louisiana way, and deservedly so. I'm really intrigued, and I'm tired of hearing about where DBU, their DBU. Look, LSU's got good corners. They've got good corners. LSU's got good receivers. Florida's got good receivers. What an intriguing matchup on both sides for both clubs.
It's going to rest in the hands of the quarterbacks very much, I think. And that's why it's so important for Joe Burrow to continue his improvement as he has. And, I mean, he's really become an outstanding quarterback. Kyle Trask is not there yet. Now, he may become that. But he was not even the starter at the beginning of the year, and he came in because of the loss of their starter. And he has the injury to deal with. So the quarterback is the real key to the passing game. You know, Florida does have good receivers, and they have big receivers, and they're capable of being game breakers, just as LSU's receivers are. But that quarterback is the responsible guy to get the ball to him. And so I think that's what both defensive coordinators are going to look to try to get that quarterback for the opposition nervous and make him inefficient. Because that gives a great advantage to the defense if you can put him in tough down situations. Because, you know, ultimately, as you said to start this conversation, this is going to be a red zone game. When you get to the red zone, LSU's got to score. And Florida's got to stop them. I mean, that's where it's going to be. And LSU's got to do the same thing, vice versa. If Florida gets near the LSU goal line, you got to stop them and hold them to a field goal or nothing.
It's been a game with a lot of trick plays. Dan Mullins always seems to come up with one. I mean, Trask had that injury and that they still threw the pass back to the quarterback on a play to convert a third down. So he's not shy in pulling off some tricks here and there. I still think LSU's got some things up their sleeve that they haven't shown anybody yet. I really do.
Oh, there's no question about it. No, I think LSU's got a lot left. And they have players playing in this game that have not been available in earlier games. And the players they have give them the ability to take chances defensively because they will have the best players across the front line that they have. And they'll have a full complement of linebackers. And they're going to move Michael Divinity back to an outside position to be a rush end in this game because they've gotten good play from Patrick Queen. So they and Damone Clark, they've moved where he can play some rush also because he's got really good speed. He's kind of a future Devin White if he continues his development. So, you know, LSU's got a lot of tricks planned if the situations present themselves. to use those tricks. But ultimately, you know, it gets down to what every game gets down to, and that is the players have to make the plays, and there's got to be playmakers who step forward. The guy, the Tyrann Mathieus of the world, who might only make three or four really good plays in the game, but they score points, or they get interceptions, or they create turnovers. Though these two teams are filled with players like that, but they're going to have to step forward and make those plays, and it's always more difficult. I mean, as you know from basketball, when you have a 7-foot guy blocking your jump shot, it's not as easy as when you just have a free throw.
That's right. Yeah, I've always said, you know, Florida gives scholarships out to players. They pay their coaches an awful lot of money as well. Players have to play. There's no question about that. I love the fact that it's at home. It seems like it's been forever, and I know it hasn't, but it's been at least 3 years since we've gotten Florida here. We play them every year, East versus West. Boy, it should be Tiger Stadium's going to be at its finest. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that Georgia game a year ago when Georgia came in and they were, you know, supposed to be so good, and Tiger Stadium rose up, and boy, it was sensational.
Yeah, I mean, LSU played over their heads that day, and Georgia, I think, was kind of taken aback. I don't think they expected what was thrown at them, and hopefully this LSU team can do the same thing this year, and this LSU team is better than last year's
in many respects,
so much better. But you have to play better. You can't just say we're better and then go sit down. You have to play-by-play perform it. You know, I mean, I truly believe that it's a one-play-at-a-time game, and any play can be the deciding factor in a game like this. That may, when you go back and look at it at the conclusion of the game, and you pick out maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 plays that if they were ended up differently, the score ends up different. Now, you know, if LSU truly is going to be a 13-point victor in this game, then that's great. I don't know where the guys in Vegas, they seem to know where they're going with this stuff, but I'm kind of surprised LSU is favored by so much.
It's kind of fitting. You mentioned it all rests with the quarterback, and it does. And it's fitting that the game captains for this one are the national championship winning quarterbacks for LSU: Warren Rabb, Matt Mauch, and Matt Flynn. It's kind of ironic. And then, I hope Joe Burrow makes four down the road. That would be sweet.
Oh yeah, it'd be terrific. And I think those are great guys to have as examples of success. But I don't know that any of those three, if they were on the same team with Joe Burrow, I don't know if any of them would be the starter.
I'm with you. That says an awful lot because, you know, they were game managers in many respects. Joe Burrow has certainly elevated his to where he is not a game manager. He is a force. And the marriage between Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger, boy, it's like a symphony. It's just been working so well, and they have so much to offer. I tell you what, I know Florida's good defensively, and we certainly haven't played a defense as good as what we're about to see on Saturday night, but Florida hadn't come close to seeing anybody remotely close to what they're seeing when LSU has the ball on offense Saturday.
That is why all those people go out there at about 8 o'clock in the morning. They spend their whole day getting into a state where they're not going to remember the game. Then they go into the stadium, they watch the game and cheer, and then they go home and they say, what happened? Well, the what happened part of it is going to be interesting to watch. Should be a great game.
Should be a great one. Doug, always fun talking with you, and have a great call of the game. I can't imagine a Tiger Stadium being any more electric than what it's going to be Saturday night. We look forward to hearing you, and it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordy. Good talking to you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, you take care. That's Doug Morrow, another edition of Jordy and the Judge, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the number one truck in America. Why? Reliable, dependable, comfortable, the best resale value. It's the goal of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt truck. We've got them in Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and New Orleans. New, used, we lease them. We've got a parts department, service department. Jack Brabham and his staff do a tremendous job. Peterbilt, the class of the industry, Peterbilt of Louisiana. More of a Football Friday coming your way. Come on, game day. Next.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, you can't get enough hype about this game. The question is it going to live up to the billing? And I see no reason why it's not. This segment of the Jordy Hultberg Show brought to you by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Broberg. Everything for your travel needs for the high school games tonight. The big game in Tiger Stadium on Saturday. Everything to watch the Saints game on Sunday. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Broberg. So many things have been said. So many things have been done. LSU's creative marketing department came up with a little hype video narrated by our good friend, Anthony Booger McFarland of Monday Night Football. Listen.
If you ever come across a tiger at night, here's what you'll notice. First, you'll notice he's wide awake. That's because tigers are nocturnal. In the daylight, he rests. In the darkness, he hunts. Next, you'll notice his eyes, the glow in the moonlight, as they scan the horizon for prey. You might notice your heart is pounding in your chest, that funny feeling, and sweat is dripping down your back. That's fear, and he can sense it. What you won't notice is the sound he makes, because a tiger moves quiet, and he's never more quiet than the moment just before he attacks. And when he does attack, trust me, you'll notice that. So if you ever come across a tiger at night, like you have on this night, remember this. Oh yeah, they hungry. And I wish you good luck.
Saturday night in Death Valley. Closing out hour number one, hour number two, high school football talk, Saints, and Monday's headlines on a Friday. And, oh, it's a great on this day in sports history. All coming your way. The Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Football is life. Say a little, do it loud. Football is Joe Burrow. No excuses.
Joe Burrow into the end zone. Touchdown, LSU. Yeah, I got no
excuses. Joe Burrow has just set an LSU school record.
Yeah, I got no. He's waving goodbye now.
It comes down to on Saturday night, the quarterback, such an integral part, the most important piece to any college football game, and I like Joe Burrow's chances over Trask of the Florida Gators. Welcome back, hour number two on this Football Friday, and we center our attention now on Friday night in Acadiana. It's time for high school football talk. Nobody better than that than our good friend, the sports director at KLFY, George Faust, kind enough to join us. George, I don't know if Saturday can get here soon enough, so I need some good high school football games to carry me until then. Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Jordy. Good to talk to you again. Hey, look, the game that I'm going to be watching tonight is obviously there's a few of them, but the one that's on the top of our bracket, or if you will, is Karen Crow taking on Turley. That's going to be a nice rival kind of atmosphere to that game. Turley's coming off a big win over their Brobridge opponent last week. Mm-hmm. That was a huge win for Dane Chiponche and the Rebels, and they're going to ride a little bit of momentum into this Karen Crow game. As for Karen Crow, obviously they have some very impressive talent on their offensive side of the ball. So that game's going to be a lot of fun. I think Turlington and Karen Crow both have. You know, exciting offenses, and it's going to be fun to watch if you're looking for a game to watch this Friday night.
I've got to ask you one question before we go any further about tonight. Can you possibly top what we saw last Friday night, the Catholic High St. Thomas More game that came down to a field goal at the buzzer? A 50-something to 50-something Catholic High win. I mean, yeah. That was a heck of a football game.
And that was an unbelievable football game, and I'm not sure we're going to have that caliber of a game. Definitely an instant classic last week between STM and Catholic. I had a chance to go to that game for a little bit. You know how it goes.
Right.
You kind of roam it around and get to different games. But it was when I was there, it was back and forth. It was a lot of fun, a lot of offense, and a lot of teams would kill to have any of the talent that's on both of those squads. But, yeah, that was an impressive game. I think a game that people might not, you know, have on their radar per se, but maybe it might turn out to be a better game than people think is Eunice is at Rain. And Rain's under a first-year coach and Kate Guidry. Eunice obviously won the state championship a year ago, but they moved up in classification. So they're playing a little higher level of football, but it'll be fun to see if Eunice can hang with Rain, because Rain has some big guys on their front line. So we'll look and see. Eunice just has a lot of talent at the skill position, mm-hmm. and that's where I think they might have a little bit of an advantage. But I do like that matchup, because I think it's a lot of excitement as well in that contest.
Okay, so another football night in Acadiana. You've got Brobridge at Cecilia, Lafayette at New Iberia. So there's a lot of good games out there. And be sure to tune in to KLFY tonight for all the high school football highlights. And listen to the ball games tonight here on 1037 The Game. I've got to go back to Wednesday night. Your thoughts on the Raging Cajuns coming up 10 points short to the cream of the crop of the Sun Belt in App State.
Yeah, look, that was a really phenomenal atmosphere. I think a lot of people have heard what Coach Billy Napier had to say about the crowd that came out, more than 20,000. in place at Cajun Field that night. It was a really good atmosphere. They were loud. They came to cheer. They did their part for sure. I think the Cajuns played well. And look, if you listen to the players, the big thing about that was they felt like they left a little bit out of mm-hmm. that game. They didn't do the best they could do on some defensive possessions. And that's saying a ton because, man, to be in a 10-7 game with App State at halftime, to be in that game like that and to hold them to one touchdown and a field goal, I mean, that's an unbelievable feat, especially for a team that, you know, has already beaten a Power 5 conference school in North Carolina earlier in the year. So I'm really impressed with their defense. I think Ron Roberts did a phenomenal job game planning for App State and Zach Thomas, their quarterback for App State. I just think in the end there was just a little too much, too many mistakes in the secondary, maybe, and the defensive setup, and that cost them just one too many. But I'm very impressed with the way the Cajuns played. I look forward to the rest of the year because we might be seeing that matchup here in a couple of months.
I would think so. That there's this distinct possibility, and it just looks like they're getting closer and closer to being that kind of a team. They're not there yet. You got to learn. Right. You got to go through these kind of games. You got to learn how to win. You got to learn how to manufacture wins, and that's what App State does better than anybody in that division.
Yeah, absolutely. And offensively, I think the Cajuns got a little stymied on the run game, and they weren't able to capitalize on passing. Levi Lewis just couldn't seem to get his bearings about him with regards to finding, you know, Jamarcus Bradley or Bam Jackson or those guys. And that kind of hurt them not being able to run the ball as well as they had in the past. They didn't have a 100-yard rusher. I thought if they had 100-yard rusher in the game, they'd have a good shot at winning. If they had two like they usually have, more than one running back, then I think I thought they would win the game. And that just didn't happen.
Well, they got to bounce back now. Arkansas State, they got some time until they play them next weekend. I've talked to everybody except you, so give me your thoughts on LSU and Florida.
Oh, I love this game. I'm so excited. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be one of those games that a lot of people are going to say, hey, you know, I was there when. And I think they're going to say that about a game that LSU wins. I just think LSU has the better talent on offense, the better quarterback. I think Trask is good, but I think the ability of what Joe Burrow is doing is special this year. I just think when it comes down to it, the Tigers will be on top.
About 102,000 will be there. It's a tough, tough ticket to get. It's going to be crazy, crazy. And finally, as we circle around again, we covered high school, we covered college. Saints at Jacksonville. Some people are calling this a trap game. I don't believe in that on the professional level. I really like the Saints' chances on the road against Jacksonville. I think our defense is here to stay.
Yeah, I like the Saints' chances as well, just because, you know, who would have thought that the Saints would be 3-0 without Drew Brees? You know, and we were hoping that would happen as a Saints fan, as a person who covers the Saints. You'd hope that they would be able to keep the ship above water, and they've done that and more with Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm not sure that I don't think it's a trap game, but I don't want it to turn into like a game where the Saints just, you know, kind of take the Jags lightly because, you know, their defense, the defense is going to be without their stud quarterback. And just go into the game and play the way you know you can play. And I think they'll be fine with regards
Georgia.
To making sure the Saints secure the win.
All right. George Faust, sports director, KLFY. Karen Crow at Turling's Catholic. That's the spotlight game in Acadiana. Thank you, George. I know you got a busy weekend, buddy. So hydrate, get ready, and here we go. Thank you, my friend.
No problem, man. Good to talk to you. Always a pleasure.
You take care. We'll take a timeout. We'll continue on this Football Friday. Larry Holder of The Athletic next will get his thoughts on the Tigers and the Saints. as Football Friday in Acadiana rolls on here on the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
We welcome in our good friend from The Athletic, who has a great perspective on the college football game, the professional football game, and all kinds of stuff in between. And that's Larry Holder, kind enough to join us. We missed you last week. We were preempted because of baseball, but we're glad to get you back on. And let's start first things first, Larry. It doesn't get much bigger than Saturday night in Death Valley when the Gators come to town. When I mentioned LSU Florida, what are your thoughts?
My personal thoughts are, why did I decide to let Jeff Duncan cover this game while I go to St. Jaguars? Because I'm extremely jealous. Second of all, I'm wondering, why did CBS not pick this game up for a 2:30 game? Because my flight's at 6:30 and to go to Jacksonville, so I'm like double bummed. But yeah, I'm extremely fired up for this game. Certainly, it's funny that LSU happens to pop up many times in the season as being, say, the best game of college football, say, like for the calendar year, just goes to show you how good LSU is. And look, I think to me that this game is, I think this is a, I'm sure you're going to ask me for a prediction, but I think this is a coming back to earth game for Florida. Which means I think LSU is going to go in there and play well in a big way.
I agree with you totally, and it all starts at the quarterback position. I'll take Burrow over Trask any day. The kid hadn't started a game since he was in junior varsity, and he's coming into Death Valley on a Saturday night after the blood that is brewing between these two universities. I just really, really like LSU, and I think this is Dave Aranda's coming out party. Everybody's kind of talking about Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger, and rightly so. I think Aranda's getting his people back, and I think you're about to see an LSU defense that is going up against a Florida offense that's, it's not, doesn't scare many people, but I think they're fixing to put a show an LSU defense that's got some teeth again. That's just my feelings.
Well, Jordy, it's funny that when you talk about having to, say, motivate a side of the football, who knew you'd ever have to motivate the defense? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Yeah, and look, all the injuries they've kind of dealt with, and they've kind of played it cool with a lot of guys, they've been gearing up for this game. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yes.
Get these guys healthy for this game. And so when you go into it, look, I just think – that LSU's offense is going to be able to attack Florida's defense. And I do think that, look, Kyle Trask, here's what's even funnier about all this Trask talk. Like, the last time he started, was a starting quarterback, you mentioned it, was in, like, way, way, way high school.
Yes.
And it was De'Eric King was the one who was starting ahead of him.
Right.
And I know we're not going to talk Tulane too much, but Tulane beats De'Eric King, and now he's out. Like, he's not even a starting quarterback in Houston anymore. And now Trask is a starting quarterback, which to me is really ironic and kind of funny. But still, you look at it, and I feel like that LSU's offensive line, it's basically the same offensive line that played against them last year. And last year, Florida's defensive front really took advantage of them.
They sure did.
And I feel like that they are more intact to be able to handle that, and just kind of the quick strike and decision making and the way the LSU's offense is kind of set up, that Joe Burrow's going to be able to be far more successful. So yeah, like, you're confident, I'm confident. Like, I feel like the spread, I think it's, I don't know, 13 as at this point.
I think they cover. I mean, I think LSU covers. I mean, I don't think you just win. I think they cover.
I think this thing goes one of two ways. I mean, if Florida plays one of those games, it's going to be really, really close with a Florida win. I think if LSU wins, I think they cover and cover in a big way. I think this thing gets out of control. This feels like the first home game of the season for LSU. It really does. No offense to Georgia Southern and Northwestern State and Utah State, but this is a night game. It feels like the first big one. And you're right. They had two games in mind. First was Texas, and then they were going to rest everybody. They were going to, even if you were 90%, you weren't going to play in the next games till you got ready for this one. They'll be ready. I agree with you totally. You'll be in Jacksonville. I mean, golly, how do you describe what these Saints have been doing these past few weeks?
I would describe it as being one of the best teams in the NFL. And it's pretty remarkable that we can say that, but I think it just goes to show you how this team has been developed and how they have matured as a team. Look, 2017, 2018, 2019. I mean, a lot of the pieces are the same. And they have just kind of grown together. And there's a reason why the Saints, Sean Payton, A, traded for Teddy Bridgewater, B, kept him around. Yeah. And it's not like Teddy is this world beater. I think last week's game is kind of the outlier of what Teddy can do. He's not going to do that every week.
Right.
But still, you lean on what gets you there. Their defense has been very good. Michael Thomas is incredible.
Yes.
Alvin Kamara can still play, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and then Teddy doesn't make a ton of mistakes, and that's what's got him there. And it's pretty remarkable. And after last week's game against Tampa, I was asking a lot of players if they just kind of view this thing as, instead of going through adversity with Drew Brees out, they're just like going through it, like the schedule. And they're feeling like they're just kind of going through it. I mean, so it's incredible how this team is made up and how they're doing it. Like, I even wrote after the Cowboys game how I feel like Sean Payton has been the coach of the year. Add the Bucs game to that, he's the coach of the year so far. There's no question about it. His staff, it's funny. I was actually talking with my colleague, Catherine Terrell, a little while ago. Their staff is incredible. I mean, that's part of it, that they have this staff. Sean Payton's on top, and it's really – it adds all up. And even without Drew Brees, because – just goes to show you how talented Saints are and how talented that coaching staff is.
I'm with you. Larry Holt of The Athletic. I think it's the character of Teddy Bridgewater. I think everybody loves him. And I think that's so critical and so important. And I don't think we give enough credit, to your point, to Dennis Allen and the job he's done on the defensive side of the ball. They're playing. They just shut down the run. I think I read somewhere they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 31 consecutive games, and that includes Ezekiel Elliott, and you name all the best running backs in the NFL. They haven't let them do what they do.
Right, Todd Gurley. I mean, they played – how many times have they played the Rams? A lot.
Yes.
You know the Jags are going to try to lean on Leonard Fournette, of course.
Right.
And yet, I feel like the Saints' defensive front is as strong as it's been arguably – this might sound like heresy, but arguably ever. And then you bring up DeMario Davis, who I feel like is the best linebacker they've had since Jonathan Vilma.
Yes.
He has been phenomenal. And so you stop that, and look, make – Gardner Minshew, who is – he's a fun story. He's a quirky guy, and I get it. I like his story, and yet you still got to make him beat you. And so I feel like the Saints are going to be able to do that and slow down the run. I don't think that streak will stop. I really don't. And I feel like that defensive front can get pressure because, I mean, we're starting to kind of debate now in New Orleans, who do you actually deactivate on your defensive line? Because everyone's actually playing well.
Yeah.
And so that we've never really talked about that probably ever in life. So it's things are really starting to roll for the Saints, there's no doubt.
I'm with you. Larry Holder, The Athletic. I can't believe I'm saying we got to stop Leonard Fournette from running and we got to put Marshawn Lattimore on DJ Chark. I mean, is this LSU East?
Are you tempting me to go DJ Chark? I'm sorry.
No, I really wasn't, but feel free.
Well, it's too bad. It's funny. My wife works at the Fox affiliate here in New Orleans, and I go on every Friday, and I talk, and I literally told her I was going to dance and do the DJ Chark dance. And, of course, she covered me with video, so I was not dancing. But, yeah, but that's really his safety blanket. Like, him and Giddy Westbrook, like, they are two receptions apart as far as, catches. But yards-wise, Chark almost has double what Westbrook has. So he's certainly the big play threat. And I don't know necessarily that the Saints are going to feel like, man, we've got to have someone travel with DJ.
Right. Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case. But still, if you slow down Fournette, you know Minshew's going to have to start taking some shots. So
I
feel like that the pass rush has to get there, and whoever's covering him, whether it's Lattimore or Eli Apple, who's actually had a pretty good year, I feel like that they feel like they can handle that.
Larry, I hope Jalen Ramsey plays, and I hope Michael Thomas takes him to the bank like he takes everybody to the bank. That would be great, and shut that guy up a little bit. But, Larry, I'm sorry you drew the short straw, big guy, but go get us a win in Jacksonville, and thanks for the time as always.
That's amazing that I got the 4-1 Saints, and I drew the short straw. How amazing is that?
not a bad place to be, big guy. Thank you, man. Have a great, safe trip, and we'll talk to you next time. We'll take a time out here. We'll come back. It's time for the terrific trio to be reunited again.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back. It's a fun time as we welcome the three amigos back together again for another edition of Monday's Headlines on a Friday. Yours truly, joined by CD and our good friend. Say hello to everybody, George. George Becknell, kind enough to join us.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. Anything special going on that you are interested in?
Well, Jordy, I'm coming off my best week of the Monday Headlines on a Friday, being that we didn't do it last week. I couldn't get any of these things extremely wrong. So I think I got some momentum going my way, brother.
Yeah, we can't go anywhere but up from here. Let's get busy. Hit some music, CD, and let's get busy. We'll start things off on the back end. The Saints playing the Jacksonville Jaguars on a Sunday. So, George, what will be the headlines in Jacksonville on a Monday?
The headline will be dismissed. During a blowout loss to the New Orleans Saints, cornerback Jalen Ramsey gets beat by Mike Thomas repeatedly, has a starting match with the defensive coordinator and head coach, and isolates himself from the team. So he's dismissed from the team for conduct detrimental to the team. But the Saints do pick up the win.
I'm hoping Jalen Ramsey does play, and I'm hoping exactly what happens. He gets matched up against Michael Thomas. He can't stop him. That would be great. Clint, what do you think happens in Jacksonville?
What I think happens in Jacksonville, the headlines are going to read Teddy, the bridge of the gap between Drew Brees and who's next. Because Teddy Bridgewater has been absolutely feasting, and I think he's going to continue to do so. Maybe not to the level that he did last weekend against Tampa by the Bay, but I think he officially solidifies himself as being the guy who's going to take the throne after Drew Brees hangs it up.
Teddy, the bridge between Drew Brees. All right. My headlines in Jacksonville the real D is in the Big Easy. Everybody talks about Jacksonville and their defense. I think the Saints prove once and for all they've got the better D, and their defense does it again. Shuts down Gardner Minshew. Dennis Allen has a plan for him with some schemes and some blitz packages that he hasn't seen before. And I think the Saints defense is legit. And I think the Saints get another win to improve to 5-1. And moving on to Chi-Town next Sunday. So we're all picking the Saints on the road to win. Here's a big game that a lot of LSU fans will be watching, and I think they might be pulling for a team in burnt orange. It comes on at 11 o'clock on Saturday. It's the Red River Shootout. I still call it the Red River Rivalry. Try and say that fast. Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts versus Texas and Sam Ellinger. George, what are the headlines in the Austin Statesman on Monday?
This one hurts. The University of Texas had slim hopes of running the table and getting into the college football playoff. That hope is now over because of Heisman hopeful Jalen Hurts. He runs for two touchdowns, throws for another four, as Oklahoma hangs 50 on Texas' bad defense.
Ooh. All right, this one hurts. Okay, Clint, Texas, Okie, what happens?
I'm disappointed in you, George. You said this one hurts. You couldn't have put one, at least in the Austin Statesman. I think it's going to be Hurts Donut. The man is going to be absolutely dominant all the way around, and this one is going to hurt Oklahoma, going to hurt the Texas Longhorns so bad. They're definitely going to wind up putting – I agree with you. I think they're going to wind up putting up a 50-burger. It'll be a one-sided affair. So, for me, it's a Hurts Donut if we're talking about the Austin American Statesman. But if you look up to Norman, Oklahoma, I think you got to say the headline's going to read, Hurts So Good.
Hurts So Good. All right, y'all are both – y'all are both picking the Sooners on this one. I'm going to go on the other side because I want LSU to have another. I want Texas to keep moving up so that that win over Texas becomes even more important. And I'm going to say, all right, Longhorns shock the Sooners. Ellinger and company come up with the big play, win it late in a shootout. I'm going to pick the Horns up to win this thing. So, Horns Up is my headlines in the Austin Statesman. Fingers crossed, just to go against the grain from you guys. Okay, we got some baseball. We'll get back to football in just a minute, but we've got some baseball. How good was Gerrit Cole? Sheesh, what a horse he is. Astros get the win. So now we got the matchup in the American League Championship Series that I think everyone thought we'd have. And that's the Astros and the Yanks. The Astros will host Game 1 on Saturday and Sunday, Game 2. So, George, what are the headlines in the Houston Chronicle baseball-wise?
You know what? We always talk about those LSU guys that's on the Houston Astros. So this week is going to be bombs away. And we're going to talk about Aaron Judge and the other Tiger in this series, DJ LeMahieu, as they combine for over the two games for three home runs and 10 RBIs together as the Yankees go two up on the road on the Astros.
Wow. Bombs away. Two zip, getting both wins at Minute Maid Park. Okay. Clint, I bet you disagree with that. Let's talk about your thoughts in the Houston Chronicle.
Oh, I strongly disagree with that headline, George. They have been absolutely dominant inside the friendly confines of Minute Maid Park. That juice is going to be flowing, and the headline is going to read, come Monday, after being up 2-0, the train keeps a rolling. We see Zach Greinke look dominant like we expected him to be in that Game 3 against the Tampa Bay Rays. And then on the Sunday matchup, it's Gerrit Cole, baby. I'm just kidding. It's just Verlander. He'll be getting the start for that one. And he will look like himself. He won't look like he did in game number 4. We're going to see him be dominant, probably throw 9 strikeouts. And the Astros will take a 2-0 lead heading over to Yankee Stadium where things could get interesting.
All right, so you've got the Astros winning two. George has the Yankees winning two. I'm going to say series heads to the Bronx tied at a game apiece. I don't know which one's going to win which game, but they're going to split in Minute Maid Park, and I think they'll head to the Bronx with Gerrit Cole coming up, and I think the Astros will win game number three in New York City. But I think it's a split down the middle at Minute Maid Park, so we'll see there. In the National League, I have to bring it up. My St. Louis Cardinals are home field advantage against the Washington Nationals. Scherzer, Strasburg, and company. I wonder how Bryce Harper's feeling as he's watching his old team four wins away from the World Series without him. So to give equal time to the junior circuit, George, what's the headlines in the St. Louis Dispatch come Monday?
I think Bryce Harper can relax because the headline is going to be a national disaster. So the St. Louis Cardinals put a 10 spot in the first inning on my Atlanta Braves in the last round.
Right.
I have no evidence to show that they're going to stop this. They are going to steamroll the Nationals in the first two games in St. Louis, and they're going to be the National League representatives in the World Series.
I like you, George. All right, Clint, St. Louis Dispatch, my Redbirds against the Nationals. Come on now, talk to me.
Jordy, it's going to wind up being a very fun ball game between these two programs. And guess what? I got, as well, the St. Louis Cardinals taking a 2-0 lead. That headline is going to read, not quite national disaster, but the headline for me, Jordy, it's going to read, Redbirds roll. They're going to be looking dominant in those next two ball games. Maybe not putting up a 10 spot in the first inning of both those ball games, but they'll handle it with these. But once they get to the nation's capital, things could get a little wild because I think this could wind up being a seven-game series, okay, especially with that trip over to our nation's capital because that place is baseball insanity right now.
Because they got nothing else. The Wizards suck. The Redskins are even worse, so they got to hold their hat on to something. So the nation's capital, we'll see. My headline, St. Louis Dispatch, Bush's best. They love Bush beer there. Anheuser-Busch is housed there, the gateway to the west with the gateway arch. I like St. Louis. I like him a lot. I think Yadier Molina has it in him for one more time. He is the leader of that group. Wainwright is going to be pitching. Waino, he's a bulldog. I like the St. Louis Cardinals, but I do agree with you, Clint. I think this is going to be a long series that will definitely head back to St. Louis. But the first two are going to the Redbirds. All right, George, right in your wheelhouse. Tonight is the home debut of Zion Williamson. He's been in Atlanta. He's taken his show to Chicago. Tonight it's the Utah Jazz at the Smoothie King Center. What does the advocate have to say about Zion's home debut?
Look, this headline is nothing to do with what happens on the floor tonight. This headline has everything to do with the crowd and the electricity in the Smoothie King Center. The Zion age has begun. This opens up a new era in New Orleans basketball. The fans are excited. There's a franchise built around, and this is built around this basketball team. There's going to be a major support. They're going to be on the upper swing. Everybody's going to be excited. This is about the change in the era of New Orleans basketball, and that headline is going to read, "The Zion Age Has Begun." And how appropriate is it that this new era of New Orleans basketball is played against the Jazz?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Very good. Very well thought out there, George. All right. Clint, Zion's debut. What does the advocate have to say?
The advocate has a lot to say about it, and I think it's just simply going to read alley-oop because we're going to continue to see the Lonzo to Zion combination work out quite well. And at one point, somebody's going to think that this duo to be the tag team champions of the NBA because they have just worked out so well. The chemistry there is already apparent.
You stole my headline, but I agree with you. Back in the day, we used to have a Chris Paul to Tyson Chandler Crescent City connection. Well, there's a new Crescent City connection, and it's from Zoe to Z. And I think that's what's going to really get this Smoothie King Center crowd packed to the rafters night after night. Lonzo Ball serving one up the alley, and Zion Williamson just throwing down the oop. He was 12 of 13 the other night against Chicago. All of his shots were 3 feet and in. I don't know how long that's going to last, but if you can still get to the rim, keep getting to the rim. Zion is legit and so much fun to watch. Okay, I've been waiting and holding off as long as I can, but I can't hold off anymore. Let's get to the creme de la creme. Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, 7 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. The Florida Gators, LSU Tigers, Florida ranked number 7, LSU ranked number 5. We talked about it all week long. George, tell me what's going to happen in Death Valley that's going to create a headline coming up this weekend.
Well, I think the Tigers played the best game of their season. You know, they looked pretty good against Utah State last week. I know it was against Utah State, but the defense looked better. They were able to run the ball better. Joe Burrow in that passing game has been crisp as always this season. So they're going to win in a variety of ways. They're going to have a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, and they're going to score the ball on offense. So when you think of a variety, you think of gumbo. And my headline is Gator is served best in gumbo. Go Tigers.
All right. I'm liking it. All right, Clint, you guys are tough to match. What do you say, CD?
I'm kind of in the same boat as him with his headline, but I'll change it up just a wee bit because, of course, everybody's going to be talking about the weather around kickoff tomorrow. It's going to be about 66 degrees. And, George, that is gumbo weather. That's what we're going to see inside Tiger Stadium. Death Valley's going to be rocking because everybody's going to have already imbibed on plenty of the alcoholic beverages, both at tailgating and during the game. The crowd will be into it. And then we see the LSU Tigers put together their most complete performance to date against a quality SEC opponent. We see Kyle Trask be put under pressure consistently by a defensive line that has shown itself to be one of the best in the SEC and maybe the entire country. After this performance, LSU wins, and everybody's feeling good in this gumbo weather.
It's going to be delightful. It really is. Okay, offensive line against Florida's defensive line. I think the offensive line has heard enough. I think they come ready to play, and I think they do their job. I think Dave Aranda's defense makes a statement. Everybody's talking about the offense. Nobody's talking about Grant Delpit. They get some players back. Lawrence plays. Divinity plays. And they're good to go. I think Dave Aranda's defense makes a statement. I think the headline reads, another Burrow blowout. I think LSU wins and wins this thing convincingly. They're favored by 13 to 13 and a half. I think they cover that and then some. I think Tiger Stadium is going to be in its rarest of forms. We don't like the Gators. We don't like them at all. They don't treat us very well at all when we're up there in Gainesville. Payback is a son of a gun, if you know what I mean. So I think another Burrow blowout, and the Tigers now set their sights on getting past a couple of more games, heading undefeated into Tuscaloosa. Oh, baby. We'll see what happens. We'll see how accurate we are or inaccurate. Either way, I hope we're all accurate, though. But, George, thank you. CD, good job. There's your Monday headlines on a Friday brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best truck in the business. It's the envy of every truck driver. They want to own a Peterbilt. In Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and New Orleans, Peterbilt of Louisiana. Back on this day in history. Oh, it's a good one. Next.
all the best guests join the Jordy Holmberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, you can win VIP tickets to the 13th Gate, the ultimate haunted attraction in Baton Rouge. VIP means no waiting in line. You walk right into the place where your worst nightmare comes to life. Enter to win the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance for VIP tickets to the 13th Gate, the ultimate haunted attraction in Baton Rouge. And another giveaway, it's Mr. Lester's $150 gift certificate giveaway. Enter to win the $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester's Steakhouse, located inside Cypress Bayou Casino. Enter the win in the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. All right, well, all the talking, the hay's in the barn, right? It's time to get this baby rolling. But a little history lesson. 22 years ago today, October the 11th, 1997, Steve Spurrier's number one ranked Florida Gators came to Tiger Stadium for a night game. Nationally televised matchup in Death Valley. And Death Valley was, well, Death Valley. A close game when in the span of a minute and 33 seconds in the fourth quarter, LSU made two plays to help the Tigers beat the Gators for the first time since 1987. Remember when?
Run it back into the boundary. Here's Titus. He will score. The LSU Tigers, a 15-point underdog, has knocked off the number one-ranked Gators from the University of Florida.
28-21, the final score. LSU's only win ever in football over the number one-ranked team in the country. It avenged the previous year's embarrassment of 56-13 loss in the swamp to the Gators in Gainesville. But on this day, October the 11th, 1997, Jerry DiNardo brought back the magic. Yes, he did. That brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon and by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. If it's your birthday today, October the 11th, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share your birthday with happy 58th to Steve Young, the left-hander, and happy 73rd birthday to my man, Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates, 73. Man, oh, man. Thanks to our guests, Chris Cozart, Jim Nickel, Doug Morrow, George Faust, Larry Holder, George Becknell. Special thanks to my great producer, CD, Clint Domain. Thank you to all of you for listening to our partners that make it possible. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Tigers. We'll talk all about it on Monday. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.